This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. Leonid Brezhnev today talked about nuclear arms reduction and how to achieve it. He had some good things to say about the American position and also some bad things. Don McNeil reports from Moscow.
President Leonid Brezhnev was greeted by tumultuous applause from young communists when he walked on stage at the Kremlin. In his first public speech since his rumored illness, the Soviet leader said that his country would be willing to hold negotiations on strategic arms and that all such arms should be frozen at the moment the talks begin. He did not specify a time or place, but the Soviets have already stated they would be ready to talk in the fall in Finland or Switzerland. Brezhnev said that President Reagan's offer to reopen the talks was a correct step, but that the American proposals on slashing specific numbers of warheads and missiles were one-sided and insincere. The Americans were once again trying to get superiority, he said. Brezhnev also promised that his freeze on SS-20 missiles in the western part of the Soviet Union would be extended to cover SS-20s east of the Urals as well. There would be no new deployment at all, he said, of missiles targeted on Western Europe. The Soviet leader walked on the stage briskly at the beginning of the meeting, but about 6 minutes into his 40-minute speech, his Russian was barely intelligible. He stumbled slightly when leaving the podium. Don McNeil, CBS News, Moscow.
Just a few hours after Brezhnev spoke, his address brought a firm response from Secretary of State Alexander Haig.
Merely to freeze at existing levels of forces would codify existing Soviet advantages, especially in the nuclear threat facing our allies here in Western Europe, but also among certain elements of the strategic equation. It would leave the United States and the West at a disadvantage to the Soviet Union.
Haig made those comments this morning at a news conference in Luxembourg. Efforts to reach a settlement of the Falkland Islands crisis continue today at the United Nations. Richard C. Hottlett has details.
The chief element in the Falkland negotiations now seems to be the pressure of time. After a day which saw no bargaining, let alone agreement, Secretary General Pérez de Cuellar spoke to reporters.
I am more than ever convinced that time is not on the side of peace. Therefore, efforts to find a peaceful solution will be pursued with vigor. The next few days will be decisive.
Britain's ambassador, Sir Anthony Parsons, returning from consultations in London, apparently brought no change in the British position. If anything, he reaffirmed its essential points with his government's full backing. Argentina's Enrique Ross, briefed on this by the Secretary General, went off at once to inform his government. It will be his turn today to reply. Britain hopes that Argentina will step back from its demands under pressure of the alternative, British military action. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
In London, as we hear from John Blackstone, the probability of British military action appears to be growing steadily.
The deadline for a British assault could always be canceled or postponed if the diplomatic efforts suddenly produce results. But the clear signal from Britain is that the time for a peaceful settlement has almost run out, and the military countdown to an invasion has begun. Since the weekend, that message has been put forward by the Defense Secretary, the Foreign Secretary, and the Prime Minister. Today, it was restated by another member of the War Cabinet, the chairman of the ruling Conservative Party, Cecil Parkinson.
What I will say is that there is a time limit, and we are getting very, very near to it.
But Britain was warned last night by other members of the European Common Market that any military escalation could mean the end of common market support. That warning was implicit as Britain's European partners extended sanctions against Argentina for only one more week. Britain had asked for a month-long extension, and there's a feeling here the shorter trade ban will give some encouragement to Argentina. John Blackstone, CBS News, London.
The NATO foreign ministers today restated their full support for Britain in the Falklands crisis and denounced what NATO Secretary General Joseph Luns called Argentina's aggression. But as we've already heard from John Blackstone, the European Common Market is less supportive. Eight of its members have agreed to maintain their trade embargo against Argentina, but Ireland and Italy have withdrawn from the embargo. And Robert Pierpoint reports from Luxembourg that the division within the common market is casting a shadow over the North Atlantic alliance.
The objections of Ireland and Italy to the British military actions in the South Atlantic in general, and the economic sanctions against Argentina in particular, have split the united front that the Allies like to show to the Soviet Union. As usual among diplomats, most officials here are denying this obvious fact. American officials, from Secretary Haig on down, insist that this NATO meeting has been a success, that the Falkland Islands crisis was only a minor part of it, and that there is, above all, unified support for President Reagan's new proposals for disarmament talks with the Soviet Union. All that may be true, but it ignores the fact that a large part of NATO's naval fleet is now bobbing around in the South Atlantic waiting to invade the Falklands, which several NATO nations believe is a bad idea. Today, NATO is not very unified. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Luxembourg.
Argentina's Air Force commander asserts that his forces will make an all-out assault on the British task force if it comes within range of land-based jets. Further debate is being heard in the Senate today on its Budget Committee's spending plan for Fiscal 83. But already its proposal for $40 billion in unspecified budget cuts in Social Security is hung up on fears of what effect approval of that idea would have in an election year. Committee Chairman Pete Domenici concedes that right now he doesn't have the votes to pass it. Defeat of the plan, he adds, would mean higher taxes or larger deficits. The Senate votes today on another controversial proposal reported by Phil Jones.
The Federal Trade Commission wants to require used car dealers to inform buyers of major known defects in automobiles. This has provoked one of the heaviest lobby campaigns seen around the Capitol in years, the major battle being waged by the National Automobile Dealers Association, which has argued that this rule would require used car dealers to make expensive inspections and make them vulnerable to litigation. The auto dealers' lobbying effort has included big spending in congressional campaigns. Last year, both Senate and House committees reported veto measures, but floor action was blocked by parliamentary maneuvering. Today's vote will be the first time the issue has reached the full Senate. Under the law, a federal agency rule can be overturned if both chambers vote for a resolution of disapproval. This used car rule is the first to come under the veto provision, which was approved 2 years ago. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Prime Minister Menachem Begin today lost his majority in the Israeli parliament when two disgruntled members of his Likud party defected and joined the opposition Labor Party. The prime minister now faces possible defeat in a no-confidence vote tomorrow. A guilty verdict was returned yesterday in Mendon, Louisiana, in the case of a rural couple whose religious beliefs collided with the law. David Dick tells us about it.
Frederick and Dosha May Ford were found guilty of negligent homicide in connection with the death of their 17-month-old granddaughter. The Fords say they do not believe in doctors or medicine, but state prosecutor Jim Johnson successfully argued that the grandparents had no right on grounds of religious belief to withhold medical treatment for the child who died of meningitis.
God gave us physicians, put them here on the earth with talent to heal people, and I hope that anyone else that has a child as sick as this little girl will take the little child to a doctor where they can be treated.
The defendants refused to have an attorney. They tried to defend themselves, they said, with the help of God. Frederick Ford remained determined throughout.
God still is in control. God always be in control. Like I tell people, God whole life, God give life.
Free on bond, Mr. and Mrs. Ford faced possible maximum sentences of 5 years in prison and $5,000 fines. David Dick, CBS News, Mendon, Louisiana.
OPEC sources in Caracas, Venezuela this morning say the oil cartel will not lower its prices this year. They say OPEC has concluded that the oil glut that pushed retail prices lower during the winter will end this summer. A special four-nation OPEC committee opens talks today in Caracas on what the anticipated end of the glut could mean. The dollar gained strongly today in the major overseas financial markets, while gold prices declined a bit. The price was fixed in London at $337.50 an ounce, down a dollar and a quarter.
CBS News, this is Richard C. Hawtelet. The Falkland negotiations at the UN are on hold for 24 hours. Secretary General Perez de Cuellar has scheduled no meetings today with either of the parties to give Argentina time for reflection. The Secretary General explained it to reporters this morning.
Today, the Argentinians consider the position, the British position as presented to them by Ambassador Parson yesterday. I have not arranged any meeting for today. Perhaps tomorrow morning I'll see the Argentinians and the British again. Thursday I will be in a position of telling you whether we have achieved a real peaceful solution.
Perez de Cuellar is now briefing the president of the Security Council. Should the negotiations break down, the issue is expected to be taken to the council without delay, especially since Britain is likely to resort at once to military action. Britain seems to be waiting, though, for developments at the UN. Dan Revive reports from London.
Prime Minister Thatcher told Parliament that she expects Argentina's response, apparently the final answer, in the next day or two.
I do believe that this will be a critical week which will decide whether or not a peaceful settlement is attainable. We cannot go on prevaricating. Indeed, the Argentines are really trying to spin out the negotiations. So far, no military option has been closed or held up, and it will not be.
But the Prime Minister denied a charge from an opposition Labour Party member that she finds war more thrilling than the welfare of her people.
I have never expressed any such attitude, but I believe firmly that we have a duty to defend our people from the invaders.
Mrs. Thatcher said she's positive that if negotiations fail this week, most members of Parliament would not flinch from a settlement by force. But that remark was not followed by any cheers. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
More news after this.
Bill, how come you look so good?
Practice.
I mean in the office.
For one thing, I use Express Mail Next Day Service from the post office.
Don't I look good sending things overnight?
Not at around $20 for 2 pounds. The Express Mail 2-pound pack costs only $9.35, so you'll look good for less.
You're always ahead of the game.
Just won this one.
Express Mail Service now delivers 70,000 overnight packages on time every day, so we'll make you look good for less, too. Sponsored by your postal service.
I'm driving home last night when I see a white glow about 400 feet up ahead. The closer I got, the brighter the glow, so I slowed way down. That's when I saw the dog. That glow was his collar reflecting my headlights. Lucky he wore that Hartz collar, or I never could have stopped in time.
Protect your dog or cat right now with the Hartz 2-in-1 Plus Nighttime Safety Reflecting Collar, the first flea and tick collar that reflects oncoming car headlights and kills fleas and ticks for 5 months. The Hartz 2-in-1 Plus Reflecting Collar. Now the Hartz Flea and Tick Killer can be a lifesaver.
American officials are reacting cautiously to new Soviet proposals on nuclear weapons. Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev this morning called for a freeze in the deployment of all new nuclear weapons and welcomed American proposals for renewed arms control negotiations. Both Secretary of State Alexander Haig and Vice President George Bush said they are somewhat encouraged by the Brezhnev statement, but both Haig and a White House spokesman rejected Brezhnev's call for a weapons freeze, saying it would now only freeze Soviet superiority. Defections today in the Israeli parliament threaten to bring down the government of Prime Minister Menachem Begin. Two deputies in Begin's ruling Likud bloc deserted to the opposition Labour Party, which has called for a no-confidence vote for tomorrow in the Knesset. The defections leave Begin without a firm majority, and losing that vote could force new elections. Stocks and other news after this.
Hi, Pat Summerall for True Value Hardware Stores to recommend a lightweight Weed Eater grass trimmer that's no lightweight when it comes to performance. It's the Weed Eater Snippy Trimmer, weighing in at only 3.5 pounds and priced at only $24.88. The Snippy will handle grass and weeds of small to medium-sized lawns, cutting a 10-inch path along bushes and fences. Make lawn care easier now and in the seasons ahead with the Snippy Trimmer or one of the other Weed Eater trimmers from participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. Say that Pat Summerall sent you.
Sir, would you mind backing your car away from our door?
Yeah, but it needs a tune-up.
This is Walden Books. We don't fix cars. And the mall manager's going to get real mad at
me. Okay, I'll fix my own car. But I'll need a Chilton's auto repair guide.
Chilton's? I use them. Walden Books has them for cars, trucks, vans.
Even imports?
Even imports. Now, if I get you one, will you back out?
Oh, one more thing.
Yes.
Does Walden Books carry spark plug wrenches?
Children's guides at your Walden bookstore. Check your yellow pages for the one nearest you.
Congress is still at odds over the federal budget for the fiscal year that starts October 1st. Senate Republicans are to begin a series of crucial floor votes later today that may show how things are moving. This morning, Secretary of the Treasury Donald Regan warned that if Congress does not cut budget deficits by trimming social programs as the administration demands, the economy will not really pull out of recession. The economy will improve for the moment if Congress does nothing, he told NBC. But if the deficit is not cut, says Regan, recovery will be anemic and will slide back into recession. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is down 2.19. Volume on the big board, 23,800,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrials, 843.13. Richard C. Huttle at CBS News.
KNX News Radio, on the scene, on the move, in Southern California.
Good morning at 9:06 with Alex Sullivan. This is Harry Burrell for KNX News Radio, your 50,000-watt news voice for Southern California. Now the major stories in Los Angeles and the West on Tuesday, May 18th.
Los Angeles police arrest several people and confiscate nearly $20 million worth of Colombian cocaine, what is believed to be the city's largest cocaine bust ever.
One man is seriously injured and nine other people also are hurt after the pickup truck they were in overturns along a curve in the Sepulveda Basin area.
A West Hollywood nightclub owner and four others should be in a Los Angeles court right now to start their arson for profit trial.
Los Angeles officials warn pet owners to vaccinate their dogs against rabies immediately because of a reported nationwide increase in the disease.
Mr. Keene, tracer of lost storms at 9:07.
South on Hollywood, north of Alvarado, we have a minor problem. That'll cause a little more back up on that southbound Hollywood freeway. And a lot of wind advisories around Antelope Valley Freeway from Ward Road northward, and also on the northbound Interstate 5 from Highway 138 northward. Mm-hmm.